Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Welcome everybody to this morning's Srimad Bhagavatam class. Before I begin, I'd like to ask the blessings from all the assembled devotees. Many of you are senior to me here, so please bless me that I can say something which is bona fide and inspiring to you and purifying for myself. Thank you. We're reading from Canto 12. We're finishing up the Bhagavatam. One more class and then back to the beginning. So this is very exciting. We're coming to the end. Covering texts, so Canto 12, Chapter 12, Srimad Bhagavatam summarized, starting from text 59, is it? Yes, 59 to 66, I believe. Which verse is that? Which one are we going to repeat? Is that my choice?
You decide.
Okay. Let's just do the first one then. 59. Oh, it's a long one. It's okay.
You can change your mind.
Would you rather do a short one? Okay. Let's just do the first one. So, ya etad shray. Ya etat shravaya nityam.
Ya etat shravaya nityam.
Yamakshanam ananyadhi.
Yamakshanam ananyadhi.
Shlokam ekam tad ardamva.
Shlokam ekam tad ardamva.
Padam padardamevava.
Padam padardamevava.
Shradavanyo nushrinuyat. Hunatyatmanameva saha. Ya etat shravaya nityam. Yamakshanam ananyadhi. Shlokam ekam tadardamva. Padam padardameva va. Shradavanyo nushrinuyat. Hunatyatmanam eva saha.
Yaetat sravayan nityam.
Yaetat sravayan nityam.
Yamashranam ananadhi.
Yamashranam ananadhi.
Shlokam ekam tadartam va.
Shadavanyam nishinuyat.
Ya.
Ya.
Who?
Who?
Etat.
Etat.
This.
This.
Shravayat.
Shravayat.
Makes others hear.
Makes others hear.
Nityam.
Nityam.
Always.
Always.
Yamakshanam.
Yamakshanam.
Every hour and every minute.
Ananyadi,
with undeviated attention. Shlokam,
verse.
Ekam,
one.
Tadardham,
half of that.
Va,
or.
Padam, a single line. Padardham,
half a line.
Eva, indeed.
Va,
or.
Shradhavan,
with faith.
Yaha,
who?
Anushrinuyat,
hears from the proper source.
Punati,
purifies.
Atmanam,
his very self.
Eva,
indeed.
Saha,
he. Translation by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki?
Jai.
One who with undeviating attention constantly recites this literature at every moment of every hour, as well as one who faithfully hears even one verse or half a verse or a single line or even half a line, certainly purifies his very self. Okay, so I'll go on and read the English for the remaining verses. One who hears this Bhagavatam on the Ekadashi or Dvadashi day is assured of long life, and one who recites it with careful attention while fasting is purified of all sinful reactions. Text 61. One who controls his mind fasts at the holy places Pushkar, Mathura, or Dwarka, and studies this scripture will be freed from all fear. Text 62. Upon the person who glorifies this Purana by chanting or hearing it, the demigods, sages, siddhas, pittas, manus, and kings of the earth bestow all desirable things. Text 63. By studying this Bhagavatam, a Brahmin can enjoy the same rivers of honey, ghee, and milk he enjoys by studying the hymns of the Rig, Yajur, and Sama Vedas. Text 64. A Brahmana who diligently reads this essential compilation of all the Puranas will go to the supreme destination which the Supreme Lord Himself has herein described. Text 65. A Brahmin who studies the Srimad Bhagavatam achieves firm intelligence in devotional service. A king who studies it gains sovereignty over the earth. A Vaishya acquires great treasure, and a Shudra is freed from sinful reactions. And the last one, text 66. Lord Hari, the supreme controller of all beings, annihilates the accumulated sins of the Kali age. Yet other literatures do not constantly glorify him. But that supreme personality of Godhead, appearing in his innumerable personal expansions, is abundantly and constantly described throughout the various narrations of this Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militanjena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swaparantikam Vandeham Shri Gurum Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamsha, Shri Rupam Sagrajatam, Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam, Sadvetam Savadutam, Parijana Sahitam, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Shri Radha Krishna Padam, Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamsha, He Krishna Karuna Sindhu, Dinabandhu Jagatpate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namostite, Tapta Kanchana Gorangi, Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishavanusuti Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Manchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, here we have a very nice and very encouraging series of verses. This is the Phala Shruti, the fruits of hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. And it's kind of like at the end of many of the chapters of Bhagavatam, there's like a mini Phala Shruti. There's maybe one verse or two verses which tell you that whoever hears this chapter gets this benediction. And I was thinking that it's sort of like a firework display. So you go to see the fireworks on the 4th of July or some event, and there's one beautiful firework, and then there's another beautiful firework. But at the end, there's the grand finale, where there's just, you know, one after the other, and the whole sky is filled with fireworks simultaneously, and it's very impressive and awe-inspiring. So these Phala Shrutis at the end of the chapter are like the single fireworks. One here, and then you wait a little, and then there's another one there. But here's the grand finale, it's just one benediction after the other. It's like a festival of blessings that Suta Goswami is offering to all the hearers of the Bhagavatam. And we can see that, you know, Suta Goswami has just recited this whole Bhagavatam and he's in ecstasy. It's kind of like, you know, we just had Jamastami, so we were fasting till midnight, starving ourselves. And, you know, at midnight, you think, okay, now I'm finally going to eat, but you can't eat because, you know, your stomach's tiny from fasting all day. And not only that, but it's kind of like your whole digestive system is just switched off by that point. So, and it's a Kadashi Prashadam anyway, so you can't really, you know, like, get into it. So then you just go to sleep and you wake up the next day fasting again, right? So then by the time you get to Srila Prabhupada's appearance day, feast, it's like you're famished, you know? and that feast is the best feast of the year. So and then after taking that feast, everyone's just blissed out. So it's it's like so this fasting period you can compare to the desert of materialistic life. So the materialistic way of life is like starvation for the soul. And the Bhagavatam is like a feast. It's like, finally, we're going to break the fast. And you know, when you first come in contact with the teachings of Krishna consciousness, it's really like, wow, you know, like, finally, there's something that I can, that's, you feel nourished. You feel spiritually, mentally, intellectually nourished. And Suta Goswami, when he glorifies the Bhagavatam in the beginning, he calls it food, you know, he calls it the fruit. Nigama kalpa tavara galitam phalam, the mature fruit of the desire tree of Vedic literature. And he tells us that we should drink this fruit. Pibata bhagavatam rasamalayam. And he says that the fruit of the Bhagavatam is more relishable for us because sukhamukad amrita drava samyutam. Because it's been already relished or spoken by Shukadeva Goswami, who's like a transcendental parrot. And Prabhupada explains that when the parrot pecks the fruit, it becomes even more sweet. I always heard this, but I had an actual experience of this when I was living in Mayapur. Our neighbors have a papaya tree. So the neighbors were out, and their gardener picked these papayas. And he, I think he couldn't sell them or something because they were full of little peck holes, but he brought them over to me, and I was like, sure, you know, I'll have them. I was thinking, let me see if it's, and that was the sweetest papaya I ever ate. And I was thinking, wow, it's true what Prabhupada says, that when the bird pecks the fruit, it becomes even more sweet. So, Shukadeva Goswami gives us the fruit in a way that we can assimilate it. The word drava, I've heard this described, that it's like, Prabhupada translates it semi-solid and soft and easily digested. I've heard that this word is it also applies to like the food that's already been chewed by the mother bird. You know, she collects, so she gets, let's say she pecks into some hard fruit or some hard seed, and she, you know, she chews it up. I guess the birds have a gizzard, so she kind of like grinds it up. And then she gives that to the baby birds. So that way, because the baby birds have no access to the fruit. One, they can't fly, so they can't even get to it. And even if they could fly, they can't chew it up. So the mother brings it to them and then feeds it to them in a way that they can swallow and get the nourishment from. So I was thinking that Srila Prabhupada is like our mother bird. That he came over on the Jaladuta with case full of Bhagavatams. In the same way that the mother bird goes to brings the fruit. So we're sitting here in the West, starving, you know, in this desert of material enjoyment, and Srila Prabhupada's bringing us the ripe fruit of Vedic literature, the Srimad Bhagavatam. He's physically carrying it here to give to us. And not only that, but he's making it digestible. He's already, like the mother bird chews the food. So he studied the Bhagavatam extensively. He pored over the commentaries of the Goswamis and the previous Acharyas, and he presented it in a way through his Bhaktivedanta purports that we can understand. I mean, what to speak of translating into English so that we can actually read it. But in a way that we can understand and which is relevant to us and applicable. So this is the mature fruit in its accessible form. So we have to be so, we're so fortunate and so grateful to Srila Prabhupada for doing this. And now all we need to do is drink it. So pibata bhagavatam rasam alayam. That's what we're doing right here. How do we drink the Bhagavatam?
Through
the ear, yes. We drink through the ears. It's not only Krishna that does other things with other sense, does things that are not normally done with one sense through another sense. We do it too. So a Vaishnava sees with the ears, and we also drink with our ears. The ears are a very important sense. And elsewhere in the Bhagavatam, there's a nice verse, 10.83.3, where I found this beautiful phrase to confirm that we drink through the ears. It says, Pibanti ye karna putai alam prabho. So this word, karna putai. Karna means ears, and putai means a vessel, like a cup. And the translation for this whole verse is, it's Lord Krishna's family member speaking. They say, O Master, how can misfortune arise for those who have even once freely drunk the nectar coming from your lotus feet? This intoxicating liquor pours into the drinking cups of their ears. Having flowed from the minds of great devotees through their mouths, it destroys the embodied soul's forgetfulness of the creator of their bodily existence. So this intoxicating liquor pours into the drinking cups of their ears. Can anyone think of another place in the Bhagavatam where it's described about the ears being like drinking cups? Yes, Mother Vega, what's it?
The calves spread their long ears to hear the nectar of Krishna's fruit.
Yeah, that's right. That's also from the 10th canto. So the verse is, Gavas cham Krishna mukha nir gata venu gita. Piyusha uttabita karna putai pibantia. The same exact word, karna putai. So the cows, gavas, hearing this Venu Gita, the flute song, which has emanated from Krishna Mukha, the mouth of Lord Krishna, then their karna putai, the ear vessels, are uttabita, raised high. They turn them upwards. Usually the cow's ears are kind of flopping down, but they rotate them and turn them upwards. Why? So that pibantia, they can drink this Piyusha, nectar. So that's what we have to do too. We have to perk up our ears and listen attentively and drink the nectar deeply. So in the previous verse, it said that the messages, like the Srimad Bhagavatam, is an intoxicating liquor. And we can see here that the mood with which Suta Goswami is speaking these verses that we're studying today, it's like he's intoxicated. He's so ecstatic that he's in that intoxicated state. So after you take that, honor the feast on Srila Prabhupada's appearance day, it's like intoxicated. I was just, you know, I brought a van of devotees here from Krishna House, and after that, on the way home from Prabhupada's appearance day festival here in Alachua, everybody was just so blissed out in the van. There was like 8 devotees in a van, and everybody's just like, whoa, that was amazing. The offerings, the prasadam, the kirtan, the deities. And everyone's expressing themselves so exuberantly and ecstatically. And I was thinking, wow, it must be all of those gulabjamins. It's this ecstatic mood of exuberance with which Sukadeva Goswami is singing the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam and conveying the blessings which can be derived from hearing it. And this ecstasy comes through in different ways. First of all, that he's saying things which are almost, which are kind of funny. You know, when you're in that intoxicated, ecstatic state in Krishna consciousness, he starts saying all kinds of funny things, like sometimes even silly things. Like in the previous section, he's saying, if when falling, slipping, feeling pain, or sneezing, one involuntarily cries out in a loud voice, obeisances to Lord Hari, one will automatically be freed from all his sinful reactions. So it's kind of ecstatic, you know, while falling, while slipping, even sneezing, you know, just say, Hare Haya Nama Krishna, and you know, you get to free from all your troubles. And then another way he exhibits his ecstasy is he starts repeating himself. So in the next few verses, he's repeating the same things that he quoted in Narada Muni saying in the first canto, where he talks about, you know, these words which do not describe the pastimes of the Lord are like places of pilgrimage for crows. And on the other hand, those which do describe the name, the fame, glories, and pastimes of the Lord are a different creation, full of transcendental words meant for bringing about a revolution in the impious lives of this world's misdirected civilization. And he says they're like a perpetual festival for the mind. And he says, what is the use of any other knowledge unless what is the use of it if it's devoid of a conception of God? So these are all things that he's already said, and he's like, just see, it's all true. Haven't you all realized it now after hearing it? And then another symptom of ecstasy is that he's being so generous. It's like when Nanda Maharaj is celebrating the birth ceremony of Krishna. He's giving away millions of cows. He's giving away hills of grains and jewels and cloth to the Brahmins. So in that ecstatic, generous mood, Suta Goswami is giving us all these phala shrutis. He's telling us that... he's saying... He's saying that if anyone hears it, even one verse or half a verse or a single line or even half a line, he purifies himself. And then he talks about all the other things, that on Ekadashi Day, Dwadashi Day, you'll get a long life. You'll be purified of all sinful reactions. You'll be freed from all fear. You'll get all desirable things. You'll get rivers of honey, ghee, and milk. All the things you ever wanted. You'll get the supreme destination. Param, paramam. You'll attain that, which has already been described. So he's saying Goloka Vrindavan because he's just finished describing the pastimes of Krishna. And then if you're a Brahmin, you'll get intelligence and devotional service. If you're a king, you'll get sovereignty over earth. If you're a Vaishya, you'll get great treasure. And if a Shudra, you'll get freedom from sinful reactions. So he's just pouring on all these desirable things. And you'll get all of those things by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. But there's a condition, which he also emphasizes here, and that is, there's one Sanskrit word that he repeats in two verses in texts, where is it? 61, I think. Okay, in text 64, there's the word prayataha, which means carefully. And that's also in text 60. The same word, yeah, prayataha. So he repeats the same word prayataha, which in text 60, it's translated with careful attention. And in text 64, it's translated carefully, and then the verse is translated as diligently. So the idea is paying close attention and really diligently, like studiously, getting absorbed into it. The word prayataha is also there in the Nectar of Instruction, text 2, atyahara prayasas cha. So prayasa means over-endeavoring for mundane things which are difficult to obtain. So while on the one side, Rupa Goswami is advising there, we shouldn't over-endeavor for mundane things, but in reading the Bhagavatam, we need to endeavor to really understand, we need to make an endeavor to pay attention. Because in the material world, with our material consciousness, it's not always easy to pay attention, and we really need to make an effort, that's what he's saying, we need to make an effort, take some care, take some trouble, diligently work at it, and pay attention to this thing. And that's, there's a similar idea, different word with which it's expressed, but in the verse that we recited, text 59, ananya di, with undeviated attention. So that's the qualification, that one who carefully hears, who diligently hears, who hears with undivided attention, then he receives all of these wonderful blessings or phalashrutis. And that's emphasized in other places in the Bhagavatam too. In the very second verse, where this is also Sutta Goswami speaking, right? The second verse, where he says, Sadyo hridyavarudyate chakritivi shushushubis tachana. He says that as soon as one attentively and submissively hears this message of Bhagavatam by this culture of knowledge, then the Supreme Lord is at once established within the heart. And then almost an identical idea is there in the second canto, chapter 8, text 4. There's a very nice verse. And last year when Satchinandan Swami was here, he was speaking at length on this verse and emphasizing three things, three qualities or conditions of states of mind that are required to really have this experience of entering to the Srimad Bhagavatam or having Krishna enter into our hearts through the Srimad Bhagavatam. And the verse, the Sanskrit is Shrinvatam Shradaya Nityam Greenatas Chas Vachestatam Kalena Natidirgena Bhagavan Vishate Riddhi. So this, the Sanskrit, probably if you're familiar with Sanskrit, you can almost understand this because it's all kind of words that we know. So Shrinvata, by hearing. And then here come the states of mind that are required. So the first one is Shradhaya, which means with faith. And the next one is Nityam, which means always or regularly. And then Grinatas Cha Swachestitam. So this Swachestitam is very important. It means seriously by one's own endeavor. So one's own serious endeavor. So the person who's speaking is making an effort to convey the message of Bhagavatam. But we also need to make our own endeavor, our own serious endeavor. And the same idea of prayata, endeavoring to pay attention and to and thinking about it. And if we do that, then kalena nati dirgena. So kalena means time, and then na ati dirgena. Not a very long time. Within not a very long time, in other words, within a very short time, then Bhagavan Vishate Riddhi. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, will Vishate enter into your Riddhi heart. Very sweet, right? I really like this. And when Maharaj was talking about this verse, he elaborated on it from one of the Upanishads. And he highlighted three steps to proper hearing. So the first one was Shravanam, which is just hearing. And he compared this to accepting food. So it's the same thing of, you know, eating. Pibata Bhagavatam Rasa, drink it or eat it. You know, just consume this, nourish your soul with this Bhagavatam. So Shravanam is accepting the food. And then the next thing he said was Mananam, which means engage your mind. Think about it. Contemplate it. Ruminate over it. So this word ruminate is, it means, it's interesting, you know, the English language also. It means to think deeply about, to contemplate over some time. And it also is the same word that you knew when a cow is chewing its cud, you know. They're ruminating. So to chew and to think over something is the same word, same idea. And then the third step is nidhyasanam, which means acting on it. So that's compared to actually swallowing the food, digesting it and assimilating it, and allowing your life, your body, your mind, your intelligence to be nourished by it. So that's sort of the process for hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. You hear it with your ears, you take it in through the ears, you let it go to the mind, and then engage the mind in contemplating it. And then you, with your body, mind, and words, you act on it. And that's what it means to actually live the Bhagavatam. But what if we have difficulty in attentively hearing the Bhagavatam? Because many times we're in the Bhagavatam class and we're kind of dozing off, or our minds are being pulled away by all the things that we need to do during the day, or, you know, things that other people have asked us. So it can be difficult to really hear the Bhagavatam with rapt attention, even trying. Even we go to the class with the best of intentions that I'm really going to hear the Bhagavatam. I'm going to, you know, get something out of this. Because after all, we make the time for it, right? We take this hour out of our busy lives. There's so many other things that we could be doing. But anyways, we've come here or at home listening online. And so anyways, we've made the time. So then we may as well be there. We may as well, you know, get the most out of it. So how to do that? So one thing is, if we're having difficulty attentively hearing the Bhagavatam, then we need to look at our lifestyle. Because Srila Prabhupada says, there's a very important purport in the first canto, chapter 3, text 44, where Prabhupada says, no one can hear Srimad Bhagavatam with rapt attention unless he is pure in mind. And no one can be pure in mind who is not pure in action. And no one can be pure in action who is not pure in eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. So we need to look at our lifestyle in terms of what are we eating? You know, how are we sleeping? What is our regulated daily routine? Are we waking up early before sunrise? Are we associating with devotees? Are we being strict about taking only Krishna prasadam? Are we being regulated in our activities according to proper, you know, performance of grihastha ashram, brahmachari ashram, according to varna and ashram? And if we're not, then that may be why we're not able to pay attention during the Bhagavatam class, or why we have no taste for even hearing the Bhagavatam class. So then we need to make some adjustments and try to purify our daily activities, and then that will purify our minds, and when our minds are pure, then we'll be able to pay attention. So these things are very important. And another thing that we need to do is look at our association. Because if we associate with people who are not interested in hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, that will rub off on us and we'll also not be interested. On the other hand, if we associate with people who do have that attraction, and particularly people who, if we come together and discuss Srimad Bhagavatam with devotees who have a taste for it, then that will help us so much. As it's said in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Satam prasangam mama virya samvido bhavanti hridkarna rasayana kata tajjoshanadap ashvapavargavartmani shraddha ratir bhaktir anukramishyati. That by associating prasanga with devotees, pure devotees, satam, and discussing mama virya samvido, Krishna saying, discussing my chivalrous, my wonderful activities, then bhavanti hritkarna rasayana kata, that rasayana kata, that relishable nectarian juice of my pastimes enters into the ear and into the heart, and it's a cultivation, tajjoshana. By that cultivation, then asha means quickly, ashvapavargavartmani, we make advancement on this upavargavartmani, the path of liberation. And step by step, we, anukramishyati, and step by step, we get shraddha, faith, shraddha, ratir, attachment, and bhakti, devotion. So through the discussing with devotees, we get these things, we get this attachment, the taste. And then on the other hand, if we offend devotees, then that can take, if we offend devotees, one of the first effects of that is that we lose our taste. We lose our taste for chanting, we lose our taste for hearing the Bhagavatam. So we have to be very careful to not offend devotees and to really associate with devotees properly by discussing Krishna Katha with them and relishing it. And also by serving devotees, because that's another thing that gives us taste for hearing the Bhagavatam. Shushusho shradadanastha. Vasudeva Kataruchi, Syan Mahat Sevaya Vipra, Punya Tirtha Nishevana. Thank you. That by rendering service to devotees who are fully free from vice, great service is done, because by such service one gains Vasudeva Kataruchi, gains attachment, ruchi, taste, for hearing Vasudeva Kata, the messages of Vasudeva, or Lord Krishna. So these are some positive steps that we can take, three positive steps that we can take to try to increase our taste for hearing. And one thing that I thought that was interesting from these verses is that by hearing attentively, then we can attain all desirable things. That was one of the verses here was saying that. Upon the person who glorifies this Purana by chanting it or hearing it, the demigods, sages, siddhas, pitas, manus, and kings of the earth bestow all desirable things. So here it's not only the Lord that blesses us, but it's everybody. Because when we hear the Bhagavatam or chant it in the right frame of mind, that pleases the Lord. And when Krishna is pleased, then everybody's pleased. Like the verse, it goes, yata toramula nishe chenena tripyanti tatskanda bujo pashakaha pranopaharachya chayatendriyana tataiva sarvarhanam achyutejya. That by watering the root of the tree, one automatically waters the leaves, twigs, branches, and trunk. And similarly, by supplying food to the stomach, all of the senses are enlivened. So in the same way, by achyutejya, by worshipping Achyuta, or the Supreme Lord, Krishna, then sarvarhanam, everyone is worshipped. So when we hear the Bhagavatam, everyone, the demigods, the sages, the siddhas, the pitas, the manus, the kings of the earth, are all worshipped, and they're all pleased. And because they're pleased, then they're willing and happy to bestow upon us all desirable things. And now another interesting point is that it actually is according to our desire. And that's made clear in text 65, where Sutta says that a Brahmin who studies this Bhagavatam gets intelligence in devotional service. Because a Brahmin wants intelligence. Brahmins are into knowledge and intellect. They want to understand philosophy and especially philosophy, which connects them to the Supreme Lord through devotional service, which is the most direct way of connecting with the Lord. So he gets that. His desire is fulfilled. But a king, he gets sovereignty over the earth. So a kshatriya, he wants to rule. He wants control. He wants to govern. So he gets that. And a vaishya, or you know, a businessman, he's after monetary profit. So what does he get? He gets a great treasure. And then shudras, because shudras tend to engage in impious activities, then they know they have all these sinful reactions coming to them, and they're fearful. So the nature of shudra is to be fearful, lamentation, because they know they're doing things that are not right, but they can't really, it's hard for them to control themselves. So they're just thinking, oh, God, please don't let me suffer. Please free me from my... So they get freedom from reactions. So everybody gets what they want. So what we can learn from this is that when we hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, we have to be careful what we want. We have to like think, you know, what do I really desire? And we should try to aim for the highest goal, because we see that the highest possible goal, the padam, paramam, is attainable by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. So we shouldn't settle for anything less. We shouldn't deprive ourselves of this highest possible achievement, which is available in the human form of life and which has been given to us so nicely by Srila Prabhupada. So this Srimad Bhagavatam is our desire tree, fulfills all desires. And Srila Prabhupada has presented it so nicely that we can easily assimilate it and make the most of it. Prabhupada has also given us a lifestyle. In establishing ISKCON as a society, he's given us a whole culture. He's not just given us knowledge, he's given us a whole culture. He's given us the lifestyle, which if we just follow the process of basic, you know, waking up in the morning, coming to Mangalarti, chanting japa, hearing the Bhagavatam, taking prasadam, doing service, he's given us this whole amazing Krishna conscious lifestyle, which is so pure and so sublime and so joyful that it puts our mind in the perfect state to be able to really attentively receive this nectar and drink the nectar and assimilate it and be nourished by it. And in the society, we've got so many walking Bhagavatams. Right? There's the book Bhagavat and the person Bhagavat. So he's given us not only the book Bhagavat, but Prabhupada has given us a society full of person Bhagavats, whom we can discuss these topics with, that we can serve, and we can relish the experience of Krishna consciousness, and together we can come closer and closer to Krishna. So I'll stop there. There are 10 minutes left. If there are any questions or comments or reflections, then please go ahead. Hare Krishna.
You know, one of our devotees in the community here, Dasaras Sutta, he translated a book about Narottam Das Thakur, and it was related to what you were saying about how Prabhupada chewed it so that we could relish it. And when this book describes how when he went to Goswami had already gone, and the place was very, weren't well there. So he was like, oh, what am I going to do? And so he could see that the Goswamis, their knowledge was very, very challenging for the local people to get. So he was praying to Krishna, Krishna, please, I want to give this to the local And so that was Baladev Vidyabhushana came. Whenever I see how Prabhupada,
I was thinking he was just thinking coming to the West.
You know, it's very. Prabhupada wanted to speak to us. He speaks so well to us, and so we can take it in, you know, just like the. I used to have a little. Little cockatiel. And one thing you learn about birds is
they don't really have digestive acids
in their body.
They eat like calcium
or stones or shells and things like that. And then seeds go down in there and then it kind of grinds it up and food. So anyway, that was my thought up. And thanks for the next class.
Yes, thank you. Seems characteristic of the Vaishnavas. The Prabhupada also wanted, when the preaching was beginning in the West, devotees were writing, when they first started printing the Back to Godhead magazine, a lot of those articles were written by the devotees. And Prabhupada's disciples were very new then. So they thought, Prabhupada, it's better if you write, we would like that you write more of the articles for the BTG that we're distributing. And Prabhupada said, no, better you do it, because you know better the mood and the frame of mind and the ideas and the way of just the language of people that your age in your country. So it was kind of like an extension of that, you know, I've done my best to make it digestible to you. Now you make it even more digestible for others. And he encouraged devotees to write in that way so that people could access it even more easily. Thank you.
I just want to thank you so much for your class. It was like you were describing, Bhagavatam is rasamali, and, you know, so our ears were like getting all the rasa from your mouth. So just want to really thank you for the class. Really was appreciating your, you were talking about Sutta Goswami's mood and his ecstasies and just that whole personal aspect of, because sometimes we can read the Bhagavatam very philosophically, but it's so nice to hear the mood and the feelings of the narrator or those who are in the Leela, or so really appreciated your class.
Yes, it's really
Thank you.
I mean, I think everyone's had this experience, you know, when you give a class or, you know, you go to a preaching program and people came and people, and then you're going home from the preaching program and you're just so ecstatic. You're so enlivened and you're talking about it, oh, and this person, did you see that person did that? And I met this really nice person, and you're like sharing, you know, the successes of the preaching program. So Sutta Goswami has just, you know, this 7-day preaching program, and full of sages, and everybody's just absorbing it, and they're getting into it, and they're relishing, and it's all just building up, you know? And now he's coming to the end of it, and it's just like, wow. You just imagine it, you just like, I mean, I don't know, when I was reading, I was just like, wow, this is intense, you know, it's like,
actually,
it's a feeling.
Reminds me that Pani Bhushan Prabhu was sharing that, because we were discussing that how the Bhagavatam was over with Maharaj Parikshit, Sukadeva Goswami, it was over, and here Sutta Goswami is telling the sages, and he was mentioning it's like, something like what you're saying is that everything is over and nobody wants to leave. And so they're at the doorsteps, they continue saying something about, you know, the Bhagavatam or like that, and Pani Bhushan was mentioning. And I was thinking, yeah, it's so true. You just because it's over, it's not over. People want to linger on and to share and to chew what has been said and to express more and express one's more feelings. So.
Yeah, and Sutta, he goes over the whole thing. I mean, that's what this chapter is. It's like almost every pastime in the Bhagavatam, he like goes over it again. It's like, let's recap it, you know? let's do it again. Let's like start again, which you're going to do in 2 days, right? tomorrow's the last class, and then the next day you're going to start again.
We have one more chapter.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this is chapter 3.
Oh, it's chapter 13. Somehow I was thinking it was the last chapter. Right, sorry. Well, soon. Yes.
Hare Krishna. Yes, such a wonderful, enthusiastic class. I'm just making a confirmation point on Jitari's comment that in Honolulu one time, of course, Prabhupada was using a dictating machine that kept things in digits. And how many digits did you translate last night? Someone asked him, because the more digits, then he did so many pages. And Prabhupada responded, he said, "Oh, I can translate very quickly, but it takes great concentration how to present it for the common man."
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, the same, the amount of concentration that Srila Prabhupada put into writing these purports, we should put into hearing them.
Hare Krishna. So you said briefly at the end that we should mind our desires.
Yeah. Yeah, good question. I mean, gradually, it's part of the process, too, that by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, then we get purified. That's one of the verses says here, that by hearing one verse, or even half a verse, a single line, or even half a line, he certainly purifies his very self. Punati atmanam eva, indeed. Punati means purifies, Atmanam his very self. So the Bhagavatam is purifying. But we don't only hear the Bhagavatam, we also chant the holy names and associate with devotees and take prasadam. Probably everything that we do in the process of Krishna consciousness is purifying. And we can purify our desires. What it takes is just, is we have to be conscious. You know, we have to really sit down and think about what we want. It's just like a couple of days ago, there was one devotee, Ganesham, who was visiting from New York, and the question, someone asked him, what made you join Krishna consciousness? And he said, well, he was working, he was studying, and he was thinking, he was thinking of getting a part-time job. So he was thinking, what job would I like? And then he decided that he wanted to get a job in Carnegie Hall. So it kind of suited what his studies were. So he just sat down and he was meditating on it and he was visualizing it. And he was getting this whole, you know, trance over, you know, this job in Carnegie Hall. And then he went and applied for it and he got the job. And then he was thinking, wow, this is actually very powerful. If I just think very deeply about what I want and meditate on it and focus it and then try and then go for it, I can actually get what I want. And then he said, well then, let me think again, you know, what do I really want? Because a part-time job, okay, that's great, you know, I'll earn a little money and I'll be doing something that I enjoy and it's helping me in my career maybe, but what do I ultimately want? And then he sat down and he thought, really what I need to do is understand who I am and to connect with God. And then he started meditating on that. This is what I want. I want to connect with God. I want to understand who I am as a spiritual being in relationship to God. And very shortly after that meditation, he met devotees, he got books, he came to the temple, and he became a devotee. So if we really sit down and think, what do I want? And the scriptures help us with that because they kind of tell us what we should want, or they tell us the consequences of wanting the wrong thing, of following the wrong path. Like in the Bhagavad Gita, we have the divine nature and the demoniac nature, and the results of both. So throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's all these pastimes of people doing the wrong things and getting certain consequences, and then other people doing the right things and getting certain consequences. So that's instructive to us, that we should desire to do the right thing. So then just try that and sit down and meditate. What do I really want? What is my ultimate goal? And focus on that desire. And keep it always in your mind so that when you're going through your day-to-day things, you can remember, okay, I need to do this now, but this is my ultimate goal. This is what I really want. And then if our real goal is to connect with Krishna in pure, loving devotion, then we'll keep assessing everything that we do throughout the day in light of that ultimate goal. And then our desire will remain fixed. And then with that in mind, when we read the Srimad Bhagavatam, it will just be switching on the lights. You know, just the path to attaining that goal will be illuminated so clearly.
Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. One last thing?
I was... Thank you. It was very nice class. I hardly ever heard your class. Very nice, very good understanding.
Thank you.
The punati, the word you used recently, just many verses had that, and I was just found that one day, I think last year, it was very fascinating meaning. It says punati bhuvana trayam, punati bhuvana mangalam. So many verses that is the same word. So the explanation given that when there has to be standard of measurement, how do you measure this punati? Purifying, that's a simple word, but most of the...
Maybe devotees understand, but most of the people have no clue what he's trying to say. Purifying the heart, what does that mean? So it's very nice, the standard of measurement given.
But the Vishnu Chakvita would say that...
If the sense object is there, but I can see within me and I can live without it, I don't need it, that's called satisfaction. Not purification yet. It is purification, but the idea of purification he gives further. He said when that sense object is there, but actually it is not even perceived, it's seeing the truth for Krishna's pleasure. Because of his Sambandha Gyan, connection with Krishna is established, and his detachment naturally, automatically rises in there. That stage is called punati.
Yeah, very nice.
I have a personal
question on that verse. I asked many devotees whoever recite that verse that you quoted, Srinata Sadhyanitam, Gnata Sasachestitam. Kalena Naoti Dhirgana, what is your understanding of that? Prabhupada did not
say exactly when. There has to be some measurement. That Lord will Bishopte, okay, he will enter into the heart. But when? How do you measure? What did you think about? When the Lord will enter in my heart? If I do these three things, you say it. Read with faith, read with attention. Read with regularly. If somebody does that, and I remember
right here.
You were here.
Yeah,
I was here. And I asked him to tell me what he said. Because I asked him, you didn't tell me the measurement. You just gave the whole class about that verse. But what about Kalena? No Ati Dhirgana.
Yeah.
Bhagavan Vishwate Vidhi. Kalena, no Ati Dhirgana. Long. No means not.
Dhirgana means really far, like how
yeah.
long. But
what do you mean how long? What does that mean? Is it 1 minute, 1 hour, or what? Where does it, I can say, how do you measure that, okay, this means exactly, if you do this, then it will enter in 1 minute. You know, like Prabhupada said, surrender takes only a moment.
Yeah.
It
means that as soon as you do those three things, the Lord is establishing your heart.
That's what we did today. I don't feel the Lord, or there has to be some symptom.
Symptom is your attraction, that you're here, that you're churning the nectar with us. You know, you're not sitting there thinking, oh, it's already past 9 o'clock, I'm leaving. You're bringing up new things. So the Lord in the heart is inspiring you. Say more. Glorify the Bhagavatam more. That's Ruchi. So you can't say that the Lord is not in your heart. You just showed it.
We say it.
Gandhara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Samaveda Bhaktivinoda ki jai. Gaur Premanandi.